WGA will not be heard at this time so that we can bring you this special presentation. Today's episode of Own Your Intuition will be heard right here in its regular spot next Tuesday at 2 p.m. To catch up on past episodes, go to voiceofashon.org and look for the show under the Shows tab.
Good afternoon. It's September 25th, 2022, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're listening to the Voice of Ashon, 101.9 FM, and streaming live on voiceofashon.org and on our app. My name is Craig Bellis, and I'm here with my co-airplane crasher, my co-airplane pilot, Truman O'Brien. And we're, if I'm speaking a little fast, it's because we have a limited amount of time to cover a very, very large issue of public interest. The Voice of Vashon and the Vashon Healthcare District wanted to talk about the current status of the relationship between the health district and the and CMAR, and how that affects the citizens of Vashon Island, perhaps from both a healthcare standpoint and from a taxation standpoint. Today we're joined by three of the healthcare district reps. We've got Commissioner Eric Prine, Commissioner Alan Ammon, and Superintendent Eric Jensen. And just a little bit by way of background, Eric Prine is a retired journalist who has lived on Vashon since 2013 before he was elected a Vashon Healthcare District Commissioner in 2019. He served on the board of the Vashon Food Bank, which coincidentally was the subject of the Brown Briefly this morning, for 3 years, and hosted a Vashon-centric public affairs interview show on this very Voice of Vashon for 5 years. Alan Ammon is an island resident, very active cyclist, and recently retired healthcare management professional, serving as a Vashon Healthcare District Commissioner following completion of a couple of graduate degrees, including UW Healthcare Administration. He has held leadership posts with integrated health systems, including Providence, Presbyterian in New Mexico, Sutter Health on the hospital and medical group practice sides of the business. His most recent experience was a decade in the Bay Area with a focus on developing medical group practices, including primary care in markets with favorable and unfavorable economics. And Superintendent Eric Jensen was appointed to the role of part-time superintendent of the district in June of 2020. Prior to being selected, he served as a hospital administrator in Washington State for 30 years, including 24 years in public hospital districts. His background includes working in several rural communities, including Forks, Ellensburg, and Toppenish. During this period, he served several years on the board of the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts, including a year as board president. He has significant experience running successful levy campaigns, overseeing major healthcare building projects, and negotiating healthcare affiliation agreements and contracts with public hospital districts administration. So we've got lots of experience here with the three representatives that we have. And I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I want to set the stage, and I'm going to do this again. I apologize for being so brief, but and probably leaving out a lot of salient facts. But these, I think, are probably the highlights, just to get us to where we're at now. About 3 years ago, the citizens of Vashon Maury Island voted to create a healthcare district. Our current healthcare provider at that time, Neighborhood Care, left in 2020. On November 1st of 2020, the healthcare district signed a new contract with CMAR, one-year auto-renewable contracts. The healthcare district agreed to subsidize CMAR to the tune of about, I think, $1.5 million a year. Not about, $1.5 million a year. The healthcare district also transferred $3 million of state appropriation obtained from obtained for clinic construction back in 2018, transferred to CMAR. That was a result of a lot of efforts that were made of by predecessors of the healthcare district and with the help of our senator at the time, Sharon Nelson. The $1.5 million annual tax subsidy will reach basically $3 million at the end of this year that CMAR has got from the healthcare district. That brings us to the last month. On August 24th, CMAR gave notice to terminate the contract and leave Vashon at the end of this year. Then a few days later, CMAR surprised everyone by saying it intended to stay, build a new clinic, and maybe provide affordable housing and dental care. To further complicate the current circumstances, the healthcare district had bought property across from Kathy's Corner for purposes of potentially building a clinic. CMAR bought the Spinnaker building here recently, is my understanding, right here in town. The healthcare district has asked CMAR to talk to discuss the future, what's going on. And CMAR has responded in certain limited ways that we'll get to in a second. So as I looked at this and looked at some of the articles and looked at your legal documents and your webpage, the healthcare district's webpage, a number of questions occurred to me right away. One, doesn't CMAR actually have an obligation to talk to you, the healthcare district, and shouldn't it, regardless of what the legal obligations are? What is the continuing role of the healthcare district? Can't CMAR operate without the district if it can afford it in this free market society that we live in? What about the $3 million obtained from the state? Are there any strings attached to CMAR keeping that money or having access to that money to build their proposed clinic? What's the status of the healthcare district tax, that percentage that's, if my understanding is, maxed out and to a certain, not maxed out, close to maxed out. Not close to maxed out. I'm getting heads being shaken at me violently here. Okay, and I appreciate that. I want these facts to be right. But there is that question of the percentage of the property tax that that the healthcare district is getting, and what happens to that? Does it stay the same? Do you have the power to lower it? Do you have the power to eliminate it? I understand also that the healthcare district is CMAR's landlord, that they sublease property at Sunrise Ridge to CMAR. How does that play into all of this? And then, of course, final question is there any risk? What are the risks to healthcare coverage on the island because of what's going on between the healthcare district and CMAR? Should people be concerned that they're going to be without a healthcare clinic in the middle of this, of trying to straighten matters out? Now, I'm going to ask you, the three of you, who'd like to take up one of those issues?
This is Eric Prine. Craig, I'll take on the first one. Must CMAR talk to us? I think, must they? Probably not. Should they? Absolutely. Because we are the elected representatives of the island. 71% of the voters on Vashon voted to establish the healthcare district and voted to elect the five of us to represent them and advocate for them in terms of, and I'll read you just a quick phrase from our mission statement, to promote and maintain the health of the residents of Vashon and Maury Islands by supporting accessible, quality healthcare. That's what we're here to do. And we've had challenges with CMAR in getting them to be responsive to us. In some instances they have, in other instances they have not. And by not talking to us, by not being responsive to us, they're not being responsive to or talking to the island.
So this is Alan Aumann. Let me just expand briefly on that, because there is a dilemma here. And in the first case, we must talk with one another, taking at face value that we received a notice to terminate the practice at the end of the year. So there are real important matters of how patients will be served after that fact, transitions that can only occur by some joint conversation and planning. But the dilemma comes in the fact that the commission's established as a governance body on the island to serve at least three essential functions. One is community-based planning for the health needs of the island, and that's mandated. Number two, to provide a financial function, to provide a source of funds in perpetuity, really, through the tax base, to maintain a economically feasible primary care service. And then number three, there's a method by which there's transparency around accountability to the public provided through the district. Those essentially remain. And the answer, part answer to the question, should CMAR speak with the district, has to do with the will of the people that the body of the commissioners function in the public interest. And yes, people can roam freely in the free market, but to some extent, this is a community that has established certain rules of engagement, and we're trying to stick with that premise.
What happens if CMAR doesn't want to play that dance, engage in that tango?
Well, Craig, that leads to your second question, which is, what can CMAR operate without us? And the short answer is yes. You were saying before we went on the air that this is a capitalistic system. They came here, we engaged them. They said they needed a subsidy of $1.5 million a year. And, so we provided it to them. And if they choose to operate without a clinic on this island, build a new one, do whatever else they want, without a contract with us, without any sort of subsidy from us, they can do that. The concern we have is, how responsive will that clinic be? First of all, is it sustainable? We wonder how it's sustainable on this island without our subsidy.
Because they had indicated they needed that subsidy not
very
that long ago.
Yes, in April they told us they would continue to need more than $90,000 a month. We wonder how it's going to pencil out. We also wonder what kind of a clinic they're going to run. Will they continue to accept all the major insurance plans on the island? Will they continue to provide, as a baseline at least, the services and the hours that they have now? And that's where accountability comes in. And a clinic that is run by CMAR, may be just fine. They may meet all those standards, but we don't know.
But you can't force them to cooperate with you.
Our toolbox has its limits.
Right. Truman.
Yeah, I just want to ask a quick question, and I'm sure, I don't know that you can answer this, but CMAR's business plan has always been to work with underserved communities. And since we are so affluent here on the island, is this affecting their business plan? I mean, I assume it is. And would that maybe make the difference between needing a subsidy and not?
I can speak to that if you'd like. So first of all, yes, CMAR does primarily focus on communities that are underserved economically. Mm. But Vashon is underserved geographically, and right, that's one of the differences. And when they considered coming here, they came here because we invited them to come here. And so they were looking at, and when they looked at the payer mix, what we call the payer mix, which what proportion are Medicaid, what's the proportion of uninsured, what's the proportion of Medicare, they said, well, we're going to need this large subsidy because we mostly make money off Medicaid patients, which are the patients most hospital systems don't want to see, or don't want to see a lot of, because they don't pay well. And so their government sponsored model is set up to compensate them well for both of those types of those patients, as well as uninsured patients. They get lots of grants for the uninsured patients they take care of as well. So that's why they said they needed a $1.5 million subsidy.
you know, this brings out the fact, this is Alan Ahman again, brings out the fact that the medical marketplace is really broken, and Vashon is not the only place where we've had this, you know, presented as evidence. And the fact is, CMAR has done well financially, applying this federally subsidized model in many communities, and they do a spectacular job. And it's part of that safety net community clinic system around the nation, and it's a beautiful thing. The problem for us has been that the small proportion of the island that's Medicaid is a challenge, conflict between the market and their model. Mm-hmm. And how they solve that is unknown to us, but it should matter to every island resident, because there really is no free lunch around the marketplace. Eventually, if these government payers don't pay their full costs and commercial insurers don't pick up the difference, which is what often happens in markets, then it's a lose-lose. So we're waiting with bated breath to find out what is the economic model. And they could possibly bring their full-scale model to the island. They ought to divulge that. Their full-scale model is housing, behavioral health, and substance abuse, dental, and medical care. And as their own CFO has acknowledged a number of times, they lose money across their system in medical care, but the mix of their products allows them to have, on average, a fair return to reinvest and support the communities they serve.
So you're in a kind of a gatekeeper position. I mean, CMAR at one point just the other day said they're leaving the island. We're terminating the contract. And a few days later, they come back and they go, well, we're terminating the contract, but we're not leaving the island. Just so that we're clear on that, they are, that termination is just still out there. Is it not?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but we are experiencing whiplash here.
Yes. And you want to make sure that if they're able to change their mind so quickly, at least verbally, that it could happen again. Could happen a month, could happen in 6 months, could happen in a year. And of course, you're looking out for the, and this is what the citizens of Vashon are wondering about. What kind of jeopardy is our health care in? And two, how much are we paying in taxes? So you've got, I mean, amongst many others issues, but those are two big prongs. What about the tax issue?
I can address that, forgive me if I, well, don't forgive me. Let me correct some something you said earlier.
You are unforgiven.
Most governmental entities and special purpose districts, the county, others, take every nickel in property tax that they are entitled to. We are a unicorn. We're a real exception. We could have collected more than $2.5 million in property taxes from island taxpayers this year. We are collecting less than $2 million. We are sensitive to the pressures that property taxes bring to people on the island. We have never taken the maximum, and it's, you know, I don't foresee a time when we would. Looking forward, you know, things are really uncertain right now. We're going to have to adopt a budget and a levy in November, but we're up in the air. If we are not subsidizing a primary care operation, obviously that will have an impact. We do still have debt to pay. The second largest expense in our budget is payment on a line of credit we got from King County, because for the first year and a half of our existence, we were not able to collect property taxes.
Yeah, you were behind the property tax curve.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're still doing that. But most, as I said, we're very conscious of the property tax burden on the island, and we're a true exception and not taking every nickel we can.
So the range of possibilities here goes from one extreme to the other. But you might be in a situation where you cut back on the property tax percentage because you're not in a position to do the kinds of things like pay this big subsidy, but you want to still be there and keep a watchful eye and probably keep a bank account in order to be prepared if things go totally sideways.
You might want to say that slightly differently. I think the beauty of the tax base is it's modest, as Eric has said, and that it's adequate. So it's believed to be adequate for the long-term losses that a typical primary care practice would experience. And because it's a legally enforceable thing, raising taxes, we would be looking for something as secure from CMAR should they go down the pathway of wanting to offer a zero-cost program to the island, something as secure as the tax dollars to ensure that the long-term viability of the clinic can be preserved. And it would be very difficult to have something as secure as this modest tax base. But when we have an opportunity to discuss in more detail with CMAR, we will be looking at that. Some kind of a reserve, some kind of assurance financially that is legally binding so that the islanders are not, again, disappointed.
So, oh, go ahead, Truman.
Well, I just have a real quick question. I understand that that you raise so much money in taxes, but you cannot retain that money year after year. Is that correct? I mean, you're restricted to the amount that you can hold in reserve.
We there is a limit to how much our maximum allowable
right.
tax can go up from year to year.
Well, I know that's a percentage
but we are nowhere near that.
No, I understand that.
Yeah,
but I'm just
yeah.
saying, though, but yeah. but all right, so let's just make it, you raise $1,000. Can you keep that $1,000 to next year? And so now you're going to have $2,000 at the end of 2 years, and 3 years you'll have $3,000. Is that allowed?
Yeah, there's no restriction okay. on us building
on holding
up
a reserve.
Building up a cash reserve or right. a financial reserve for a rainy day.
Okay,
or,
that's
yeah, it's
wrong.
A concept in, okay. called banked capacity, which,
yeah,
which you don't want to hear more
about. No, I don't. But I did want to raise that question because I had heard that you either spend it or lose it in this
not,
case.
Not in our case.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
So what about this $3 million state appropriation? Are you in a position to talk about what the status of that is or if there are any strings attached to that?
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. In your introduction, there was a comment about, you know, that we had agreed, transferred the money to CMAR. What really happened back then is that NeighborCare Health, who had received the original $3 million allocation, they, unbeknownst to us, without talking to us, told the Department of Commerce of the state that they wanted to transfer that money to CMAR. And we found out about it and had a conversation with CMAR, and we felt like we were the best entity to have that money and retain it for the community, and they objected to that. And it was in the middle of the legislative session, and there was very little time left. So we reluctantly agreed to send a joint letter with them agreeing that they would have the money, but that's how that came about.
Okay.
And I should add that the joint letter we sent talked about how we were going to work collaboratively and work together with CMAR on a new clinic, and unfortunately that has not occurred.
Well, that brings up the question of the property that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you proceed with that? Are you in a sort of wait and see situation? The property that was purchased by you, mm-hmm. across from Kathy's mm-hmm. corner?
It's actually next door to Kathy's
okay,
corner.
Next door, okay.
Yeah,
I think the property reflects a long time interest among community leaders to secure a new home for a clinic. And it is the first step. It's celebrated this very month. And because we are now in a very ambiguous situation, we will be pausing while we shape the future around a primary care partner. We are talking with other Puget Sound organizations who may become a preferred partner here, and with whom we would then, or with CMAR, should we work out a amicable deal, we would then proceed in the long run to build a clinic.
Well, I try to be realistic. There's not room on this island for two health clinics, is there?
No, I think we should just adopt as a fact that 11,000 to 12,000 people, many of whom work in Seattle, in an island also with many seniors, has a certain primary care profile. It takes only a certain number of physicians to serve, let's assume, three-quarters of that population. That's about five physicians, and that's would be a kind of a minimum number you'd want to use in a clinic. It really would not be economic to have more than one clinic. It's just so if you were a Kaiser, you would come to this island, perhaps, if you could serve 100% of that 7,500, because that would be
right.
A feasible clinic. Lacking that, we should all work very hard to make the best solution for a primary care and avoid needless, redundant competition.
And with CMAR, with their footprint on the ground, and their first mover advantage, if you will, to use other legal terms, is a significant barrier to another healthcare center moving in.
It would be a significant barrier if and when they have a credible offer to share with the community. Lacking that, it is an idea that really has to be tested. And I can just say that the fact that, as Eric described, the typical market of CMAR is not Vashon Island. So there's a mismatch between this market and their model. If they can fill that gap, then dissuading other entrants would be fine. Until then, the only responsible thing we can do is to pursue other organizations who have a interest in the island and who have a model that fits, and that's what we're doing.
While at the same time continuing to ask CMAR to share details of their plan for serving the island without a subsidy, the finances, the operations, the services to be offered, so that we can find out that it's something, if it's something that truly serves the island adequately.
Okay. My captain over there, Truman O'Brien, has informed us that we have less than 3 minutes left. In the final 2.5 minutes, if there's a particular topic you want to address, or you can try to reassure the citizenry of your efforts to maintain health care on the island, go for it.
I think it's, you had asked early on, is there still going to be health care on the island after December 31st? And I think it's highly likely there will be in one form or another. You also asked at the beginning, you said that we are CMAR's landlord. We lease the Sunrise Ridge building from the nonprofit that runs that whole campus and then sublease mm-hmm. to CMAR. And so that's how that operation goes. And they've approached us about extending that sublease while having no other relationship with us. And we're willing to talk to them about that.
Well, it sounds like you're willing to talk to them about a whole raft of issues. Hey, I want to thank Eric Prine, Alan Aumann, and Eric Jensen for being with us today and filling the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. Are we out of town?
Got 1 minute. 1 minute, 20 seconds, actually.
Not out of town, out of time. Oh, I misunderstood. I thought we had no time left.
No, you have.
Well, all right.
Well, I think we should feel hopeful about this, as Eric was just saying. The reality is the door is still open to have conversations. We have requested that we mediate, and that has not been closed off. And the fact is, as opposed to 2020 in the middle of the pandemic startup, we now have a more favorable marketplace with other provider systems with whom, several of whom we are in conversation with. It's a much more hopeful environment.
You're in a better situation, you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
That's to me, that is very good news.
That is very good news.
And I just want to throw in my a vote of confidence on you folks. I think you're doing a great job, and I know it's not a very, it's an unforgiving job. So I just encourage you to keep on keeping on.
And Thank you, Truman.
The voice of Vashon hopes that we can get you back in here.
Oh,
either
sure.
you or
For
other
longer.
Representatives, and we can talk about this
anytime. Anytime.
Okay, great.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Did it. Nice job, guys.
Thank you.
That was good. Nice yes. questions.
Yeah, you covered a lot of territory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.